Thank you, both of you. I think that many for us, the time arrives when we reflect on what we have accomplished and achieved in life, calling some successful and others, well, not so much. We contemplate the choices that we have made, perhaps questioning our determinations. Now, when we do look back over our lives, we notice that there were times when we sought the advice of others, seeking guidance and direction, or perhaps simply asking them for their opinion about something. This is what we do. When considering our options, we turn to others for their suggestions. A lifetime of experience demands quite a bit from us. There are times when we simply do not know what to do. We have several options, and while this is usually a very good thing, still, how does one make the right choice? There may be times when we become a little overwhelmed, and we do not trust our ability to decide for ourselves. We are asked to move around and to make some changes, ones that will require us to think and to act in a different way. Now, it is true that some of what happens to us, it's of our own making, while other things are beyond our control. Perhaps we find us considering our place of work. It may have become painfully obvious that we have outgrown the job we currently have, but we aren't quite sure where we want to go from here. Maybe we are in a relationship that no longer seems to be working. But do we really want to get out of it? We may consider our options and then decide to stay in that relationship, not convinced that we will be able to find someone else. While not a perfect match, at least we know what to expect. Perhaps a loved one has died, or a friend has moved away, and we miss them. They may have been the very individuals that we depended on for advice and counsel. We have noticed that it's true that over the years, people leave us or simply move on to something else. And yet, we continue to find us in the same place, still not sure of our ability to pick and to choose. So we can continue traveling down the familiar path, reaching out to others, asking our questions and seeking the answers, wondering what they would do if they were walking in our shoes. Now, it is true that regardless of what others advise us to do, we are not guaranteed that if we follow their suggestions, that things will work out in a way that is helpful or beneficial to us. We must be careful when we allow others to make our decisions for us. We have noticed that what has worked for one person, well, it doesn't always necessarily work for another. We simply cannot predict the future in any meaningful way. And since we cannot be certain of the outcome, we are told to pick and choose wisely. Now, this sounds like wonderful advice. It really does. But when we truly do not know what to do, how does one pick and choose wisely? How do we do this? Now, years ago, someone told me that when I asked for advice, that I should consider the source. And this has turned out to be an important piece of information for me. When it comes to asking friends for advice, I must consider my relationship with the friend. Do I trust where they are coming from? For instance, if they are on their fifth marriage, can I trust their advice concerning relationships? Now, one might point out that they certainly have enough practice, but the thinking person might question what it is they have learned from this experience, and are they still trying to get it right? If we are concerned, perhaps, about our health, we may seek the advice of our doctor. He may tell us that we need to lose some weight. He may even hint that we need to lose a lot of weight. And so he may suggest a diet and exercise. And so we consider the source. Now, if it is obvious that our doctor could lose a few pounds himself, we may not be all that eager to follow his advice. Now, we may agree with what he told us, but still, when we consider the source and observe how he handles his own situation, we may think long and hard before we act on what he told us. If our need is financial, we may seek the advice of someone who has set themselves up as a financial advisor. We check out their credentials on the internet. What is their track record? How successful are they? And most importantly, are they able to make money for their clients? We consider the various financial institutions, reviewing their ratings and what others have to say about their services. Based on our findings, we consider the source, choosing the one we feel would work best for us. Now, actually, we do this in all areas of our life. We pick and choose our mechanic, our hairstylist, barber, or phone company and internet provider, all based on the quality of their work. We want to be able to trust what they do and what they say. And so again, I say, consider the source. Now, when we seek advice from others, Let us understand that it is up to us to determine what to do with it or not. The choice is always ours, which is why we are advised to pick and choose wisely. Now, I personally believe that we are responsible for much of what comes our way in life. Because you see, life simply presents itself to us as experience. We alone are responsible for how it is we respond to circumstances and conditions. Our response gives value to the experience, perhaps calling it either a mountain or a molehill. We name it what we will, good or bad, and it will fulfill our expectation. Now, an individual calls me quite often, complaining about all of the things that have happened to her during the week, the ones that have caused her pain and anxiety. Now, this includes what she has heard concerning the news of the day, or perhaps it was all that gossip about what is happening in her apartment building. It includes the latest disease, or that most recent tweet from the president. Now, listening to all of this leaves her depleted and anxious. I point out to her, it is not the event itself that causes us to suffer. Rather, it is our response to what happens that causes us to suffer, our pain, and our anxiety. Now, I don't think she really wants to hear this. You see, in order for her to accept this, she would have to take responsibility for herself and her response. And I don't think she simply is not able or willing to do so. It has been her habit to act in this way, blaming others for her pain and anxiety. Again, I say, consider the source. And this brings up an interesting question. What if the source we are to consider is us? If our viewpoint of life causes us to be fearful and anxious, perhaps it is us that we should question and doubt. When we pick and choose using our mental thought as our standard of choice, it would appear that we are not picking and choosing wisely. Now, I say this because when we do our work in the mental realm of life, or perhaps when we base our choice on past experience, when we do these things, we are working with those changing scenes of humanhood. There's nothing stable or lasting in the realm of that activity. When we seek the advice of the man of flesh, we are seeking in a far country, asking in a place alien to our true nature of being. Again, I say, consider the source. Remember, the Bible tells us that we are made in the image and of the likeness of God. We are told that God is our source. Without him, nothing is made that was made. We are told that God is the creator. We are the creation. When we turn within in that time of stillness, we know us as spiritual being, as that one of God. And you know, this will never change. No matter what it is we happen to be thinking about us, or what it is we are going through at the moment, we cannot change the reality of who we are. Taking on the material form of personality, it does not negate Christ. So let us consider this source when we wish to learn about life and about ourselves. Now, when we look at what life has brought us as experience, any question that we might have should be addressed within our own being. Remember, we are responsible for how it is we respond to life, to its circumstances and its conditions. We cannot blame others for what we choose to entertain in our consciousness as being so. Never mind what others have to say. Never mind about their advice or what they think we should do. It is best that we take responsibility for ourselves. What do we think? What do we have to say? Now, we have been told that one way to take responsibility for ourselves is to control our thoughts. There's really quite a bit written about our thoughts. We have noticed that, at least I have, when our thoughts are left unattended, they wander all over the place, picking and choosing according to the world's standards. Ah, but when we take charge, we direct our thoughts in meaningful ways. When we lift our eyes on high, it means that our focus and our attention are given to God. We are the thinker, which means that we are always greater than our thought. The source of our personal thoughts is the one who thinks them, and that is us. And when we attribute our reality to spiritual being, we think as God thinks, beholding the heavenly creation in all of its glory. The command is, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Always, always the choice is ours, to serve God or to serve man. It is all up to us. And we do this by bearing witness in thought, word, and deed. Now, all of us have done this. When we accepted responsibility for ourselves, yes, we understood the need to control our thoughts. So certainly when we begin, this is a good place to start, a necessary first step, perhaps the only one that we consider at that time. When we first begin anything, we begin right where we are. So we begin with thought, enlightened thought perhaps, but we're still in that mental realm a little bit. And for a while we do our work from this place of activity, picking and choosing a little wiser perhaps than we did before. But you know, in time we can grow weary working with thought. You see, living from the viewpoint of the human being limits and restricts us to what the human being can comprehend and understand. But you see, we're not there anymore. We are no longer that person who relies on his mental thought to do the work. At this time in our understanding, our work with thought is to direct it, giving all focus and attention on high. At this point in understanding, we're actually unfolding to that place where we can give no thought. Having given our attention to God, we cease all personal thought, and in the absence of thought, we listen. But those of us who are here this morning, we're not new to this. We have grown accustomed to considering us beyond the viewpoint of humanhood. We have discovered a self, a being called infinite. And we know that that is who we are. This self, it does not require the advice or opinion of others. This being does not concern itself with the challenges and demands that require change and modification. This self has discovered that when faced with these conditions, and there will be conditions, the answer will be given from within, and it will be just what is needed. This self has learned the value of entering that place of stillness, for it is there that he is consciously one with his source. This is always our choice. It is ours. When we choose this day to serve the Lord, it means that each and every day we choose to do certain things. We choose to study the Bible, and again, we read that part that says we are made in the image and of the likeness of God. I repeat this because we like that. And then we particularly study that part that says God is spirit. So we look at these two things and we conclude that what is of the image and likeness of God must also be spirit. And so we ponder what we have learned. To accept that this is so means that we no longer consider our source to be the mental thought that names things. We know us as spiritual being. Our source is God, out of which all things are made. So again, I say, consider the source. Now, can you imagine what life would be like if we would first consult the spiritual source for guidance and direction? This would truly be considering and choosing wisely. And you know what is an interesting thing about making choices? When we work with thought, there is so much to consider. We listen to this person, and we listen to that one. And then we predict how it will all work out if we did this or that. But even after much contemplation, we are never sure we have chosen correctly. Now, when we consult the spiritual source for guidance and direction, we are not given a menu of options. Truly, there are no decisions for us to make. We do not weigh this against that. The only choice for us to make is to turn within to that indwelling presence. Because you see, in his presence are all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Exactly what is it that we think we can add to this? We call the stillness meditation. That time when we give no thought, time when we hold no opinion or concept about what should happen or exactly when it should all come about. I cannot emphasize this enough. This is a time of surrender on our part. We say inwardly or audibly, "Speak, Lord, I am listening." It is a matter of sensing and feeling in an inward way. What is given in the time of stillness in our soul's awareness comes already whole and complete. Nothing needs to be added, and we cannot take anything away. And we can trust it to be so. We do not have to concern ourselves asking if we have chosen correctly. It's not even a matter of us choosing wisely. When we decide to serve the Lord, we are the one doing the serving, and the Lord is the one doing the choosing. True wisdom belongs to God. When we allow God to do the work, what comes forth as experience is a necessary thing. It is what is necessary for my growth and unfoldment, and it cannot be labeled using those limited terms of good or bad. Now, there are times when we find us in places we really would rather not be. Life's experience brings us both the up times and the down times that belong to the world. I think we are meant to experience both of them. Both are necessary for my growth and understanding. So if I happen to find me in one of those down times, who cares? If it is what is needed, my response is, what do we have here? What do you want to do with this? I know it appears for a reason, but show me what it is. There must be something I am to do. But I would also consider the source, and I would know that I was not handling it alone. So let us not be discouraged when we find us standing alone in a human way. That time when others have left us, and we still feel uncertain about our future and about our choices. But you see, these are simply the passing times of humanhood, bringing us the necessary experience of the moment. Do not give in to the appearance. When we dig a little deeper, we discover an understanding built on the firm foundation of spiritual reality. Be still and know, it is our answer. Turn within and listen. It is the only choice, the only decision we are ever required to make. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and be alone with God. At this time, would you join me in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us pause and acknowledge the indwelling presence, for it never leaves us nor forsakes us. In the time of stillness, we enter a place of solitude that is not touched by the human condition. It is there that we give no thought. We enter a realm of being that speaks of eternal life, that one of no beginning, no end. There is only the continual flow of God's creative activity, expressing as all things and in all places. In the silence, we listen and we ponder. And we remember from whence we came. I have been with you before Abraham, before the beginning of time. Your name is written in the heavens. You are my beloved child. During the coming week, let us go often to the holy place. Choose each day whom ye will serve. Be still and know. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.